This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. For today's show, we'll be visiting with the Hand family of Fillmore. Bernie Hand and his wife Pam, along with their son Alex, have a unique operation in Montgomery County, as a portion of their acres they farm are organic. I had a chance to visit their farm and take a tour, and we talked about almost every aspect of their operation. Row crops, livestock, and marketing organic crops, we covered it all. And I started off by talking with Alex and asking him why they chose to make some of their acres organic.
Well, I'm Pam and Bernie's youngest son. I've been helping them since I got out of high school, so about 6-7 years. And, yeah, it's been fun.
So your operation, it's unique because you are an organic farm, and that's not something that I get to talk about every day. So it's pretty interesting the way that you guys do things. So tell us a little bit about how the farm works.
Well, we have 300 acres of organic and about 1,000 conventional acres that we farm. And the 300 acres of organic that we're farming takes up a good portion of the time. A lot more passes through the field, rotary hoeing, cultivating, and all that.
So I guess what's the reason? Why did you guys want to start farming organically on that 300 acres?
We had a landlady that was wanting to switch her ground over to organic, and so we started doing that a 40 at a time, just going slow at it. Because it takes about 4 years to get acres converted over to organic farm ground.
Talk to us a little bit more about it, about getting it converted over. As you guys were telling me, your mom works with someone every year. There's a review of records and things. Who do you have to talk to, and how do you go about doing that? Okay, so we're going to be talking with Bernie Hand now.
Yeah, the transition period, like Alex said, is 4 years, and you have to allow 4 years between your last application of a fertilizer or chemical with your harvest. So that takes quite a bit of time. Every year there's an organic certifier that comes around, checks your records, and just keeps everything on track with your certification, because without that you can't market for a better price. Our marketing, we do that through two different brokers. I just call both of them, say I've got this much grain to sell, and then they give me a price, and they know that I'm not going to go back and forth. They better give me their best price, and that's the end of that. So
now we'll switch back to talking to Alex again. And Alex says your dad was mentioning he works with brokers to sell the crops, and there's a difference in production. Less bushels to the acre as with conventional farming, and then price also differs.
Yeah, the bushels are quite a bit lower, but the price is usually about doubled, and we're not too far off on our bushels. It's about 35 for our beans, 100 for our corn, so it ain't too bad. But it's a noticeable drop in production, but we're usually getting about twice as much to three times as much money for it.
So with the price difference, I would say that would be one reason it'd be worth your while, because you are making more. Because if I'm thinking as a person that farms conventionally, if I'm listening to this, well, why would I want to grow something that's producing so much less? But it sounds like that cost difference kind of makes up for it.
The cost usually makes up for the drop in bushels and everything. So
Bernie, you just mentioned something about input costs. Those are different also farming organically.
Yes, correct. The thing that people think about organic being more costly is the trips across the field, but you can run a rotary hoe two or three times across the field and get very, very effective weed control, and then follow up with one or two cultivations. And I've had bean fields for sure, and most of the time the corn fields too, be as clean as any of the neighbors. It just takes a little management on the end of the rotary hoe. And another thing, if you happen to get rained out when you're planting your beans and they get sealed in, just take a deep breath, take the field cultivator out there, tear them up, and plant them again. $25 a bushel for the seed is a lot less than having weedy beans and taking a big yield hit. as a thing that keeps the herbicide, the beans weed-free as we plant about a month later on the soybeans and about 2 weeks later on corn. The corn is to get away from the pollination from the other corn, and also just easier to take care of the weeds. And that's what makes the organic a little more cost-effective is input costs.
So there's other things that you do differently as far as not only just on the row crop side, but you've got livestock too. And part of my tour today with you guys, you were showing me about the cattle that you have and how you're rotating them through the pastures. I guess Bernie will have you talk about that too.
Well, the thing that really intrigues me and gets my interest up is we've got 80 cows and calves, and we have no permanent pasture. We use cover crops and our fallow year on clover and stubble clover to graze our cows. They spend their whole time in the field, and the fertility part of our organic farm comes from that. We recycle the nutrients through acres of grazing, manure application, grazing, manure application. We're recycling our nutrients and putting them in a form that the plant can use. The rotational grazing increases the ability to put more cattle on 1 acre. The cattle get very gentle. My wife really appreciates that because when we move them daily, the grandkids go along and they sit on the four-wheeler and she doesn't have to worry about the cows running over the top of them. The cows really make the system work. 50 years ago, almost every farm had livestock on it and utilized the manure and the residues. Cover crops are becoming a big thing in agriculture today, and we just utilize ours through grazing. We graze our cereal rye, our corn stalks, our stubble clover. Sometimes we have to supplement with hay, but the cows spend all their time out in the field, and a lot of people say, well, that, don't they have a barn? I say, no, they've got a fur coat and a leather coat, so they're pretty good to go.
Well, they were made to live outside and withstand the elements, so definitely have to agree with you on that one. Something that you made a point to tell me about as we were on the tour and we were looking at one of the pastures that the cattle were in is that they were standing in a clover field, and you said farming organically, the clover makes everything work. Explain what you meant by that.
Well, the clover starts out as seeded in February, frost-seeded, and then it goes from that. We harvest the wheat off of that. We frost-seed into the wheat, and then come August 1st or so, we'll be able to turn our cows in and start grazing it. The particular field you're talking about, we had taken our cow herd across it three different times since August 1st. Come later, when the temperature hits 31 degrees, there's a pretty good chance our clover is going to dissolve away. By then, we'll have stalk fields and some rye that we flew on earlier. But the clover goes to stubble clover, and then next spring it will be old clover, and we'll graze that from May 1st until August 1st. And they'll go through that maybe four times, depending on the growth, the amount of rain we get. That might be when we have to supplement a little hay in July if it stays, turns off dry. But then from there, the next year it will go to be plowed under for corn, and we'll graze it from March 1st to May 10th. So we'll get another two runs across it then. And each time the cow's dropping 25 pounds of manure every day out the back end. So then that's the nitrogen for our corn. You can figure about 140 units to 100 units of N for your corn crop. And then plus it builds the earthworms, the soil health, and everything. So really we're clover farmers other than organic farmers.
And I have to laugh because we mentioned a few minutes ago that you have lower input costs. Well, that's where your inputs are coming from, right from the cows. So I think that's, you said with all the benefits, that's pretty great. Alex, I'm going to talk to you again. We'll focus still on the cows, but it was something that was out in the pasture. So there weren't trees there, but you had, I guess we'll call it a man-made tree. But your mom was explaining it, and the concept behind it, not something that I don't think that I would have thought about, but made perfect sense.
Yeah, it's just a shade cloth out there. It's just to help keep them cool during the hot time, the summer. And we move it about every couple days so we can get the manure spread out throughout the whole field because they'll set underneath that for a good portion of the day. It's an old two-ton truck that just doesn't run anymore. We just used it because it was going to be high up, and we got it stretched out with 2x4s and some wire, and it just is a pretty cool-looking thing out in the middle of the field.
And another thing I think to talk about and bring to people's attention when you're rotating them around to the different sites where they're grazing, you don't have buildings, and your dad made a point to talk about the different corrals and things you have to set up to wean and other things that if you had at a permanent site, those would be there, but instead you're doing it differently.
Yeah, we've got a dozen gates or so that we carry around in the livestock trailer if we have to move them or get a sick cow out and work cows through. So I've gotten pretty good at building a corral and everything else and getting a flow of animals through them pretty good.
So we've talked a lot about the operations on the farm and what you do. So this is a family operation, obviously, not just your immediate family here at home, but Bernie, you were raised on a farm too, other family members' farm?
Yes, my brother Dennis and his girls farm with us. They've brought food to the field. Dennis's daughters have and helped out when needed. Dennis and I have farmed our whole lives together since we were little boys playing in the sand pile, I guess. That would be the start of our farming career to today. And it all goes pretty much smooth for a family operation. We had one neighbor say, "You guys have no trouble communicating. I can hear you just fine." So, yeah, we're a family group. We can cover each other pretty well for what needs to be done. And it's always good to have two people thinking about what needs to be done and how to do it. So it's always good to have a sounding board. A lot of times I'll say that I farm with my brother, but he would say he's home doing all the work and I'm the one out talking. So,
well, I can't defend you on that note today because here we sit talking. But I've really enjoyed my visit. We're sitting at your kitchen table now with your wife, Pam, and son, Alex, who we've heard from. But that's not all of your family. There's several more. You have several more siblings, Alex and Pam. Would you like to jump in and just tell us how big your family is and a little bit more about you guys?
Well, we've been married 42 years this November, and we have 5 children, and now we've been blessed with 16 grandchildren, and they all love to come and to the farm, and I've always felt it's been my responsibility to let them play in the dirt and get as dirty as they possibly can so I can send home dirty kids and dirty clothes.
And once again, we've been visiting with Bernie and Pam Hand and their son Alex of Fillmore. And that's all we have time for today on your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.